8 o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. From the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's Monday, the good, the bad, the ugly. Good Maverick softball team on a 25-game winning streak. Maverick baseball team taking 3 out of 4 against Chico State. Palisade baseball team, they swept their doubleheader. Eagle Valley and Fertile Monument, Grand Junction, Central, all picking up victories on the diamond. And Fertile Monument girls lacrosse, they're on a nice little winning streak right now as well. Likewise for the Wildcats soccer team. Text or call us 970-242-1340. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Today's tax day. Do you have your taxes in already? For you and me, yes. Yep. Done.
Yeah, done.
Did you do the taxes or did Karen do them?
Okay. I did.
Good job. Are you better at that kind of thing than she is?
No.
You decided to do it and...
I mean, TurboTax is idiot-proof a little bit, so I'm able to do that.
Kendra's just always, she's done it. She's really good at it. And even before TurboTax and things like that, I think maybe once or twice we ever had a tax preparation place do it. Mm-hmm. Normally she's done it. So I just, why mess with a good thing? She knows what she's doing. I'd go in and muck it up if I did it.
I hate the TurboTax. File free. Well, unless you do this and this and this and this, and then it's $130. Oh, and by the way, to do your, it's free to file, but you have to pay the $60 extra for your state, and then it's the processing fee of $40. So the free file is $191.
What? That's not free.
Yeah, that's. It's like, and then I pay all that money to Intuit and TurboTax, and then I think the guy that owns it, I think, is Dan Gilbert. They go out and lose to the Hornets at home. Like, that's right. Thanks for that.
Cavs owner.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Thanks a lot.
At least you didn't get swept by the Yankees across the street.
That's good.
It was real close.
All right.
We almost didn't get to wear the shirt today.
Before we go around the NFL, before we do that, we're going to talk about Nuggets and Avalanche from yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll get into that. It is Monday, the good, the bad, the ugly. So if you have something you'd like to share with us today, send it to us on the team line, 970-242-1340. So we'll start out with the team that won yesterday, the Denver Nuggets.
Yay.
Nuggets, even though they blew a chance Friday night, give up a buzzer beater shot to lose to San Antonio, one of the worst teams in the league. And that took away their chance to be the number one seed. But on Sunday, they had to go to Memphis. They go there, and they get the job done, beating the Grizzlies 126-111. So the win ties the Nuggets record with their 57th win of the season, matched what they did last year. Jamal Murray had the 21 points, did roll his ankle in the second half. Michael Malone wanted him out. Jamal's like, nope, I'm good, and stayed on the floor. Nikola Jokic, 15 points, grabbed 15 rebounds. So now the Nuggets wait for the winner of the Lakers and New Orleans Pelicans, and that's the play-in game. And so the Nuggets don't really care who they play. Nikola Jokic said, I don't care. Just, we got to worry about us.
He may not even watch.
Jokic said that we have good weather, so I'm going to my swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
Probably get some treatment, relax a little bit when he gets home, or when he got home yesterday.
Yeah, see, he's not even going to watch.
Michael Porter Jr., I think we're all kind of tired of the regular season. Ready for the playoffs to start. I'm okay with that. But wish you wouldn't have been so tired of the regular season on Friday night.
Against the Spurs, yeah.
Could have been the number one seed.
Like, you know the playoffs are going to be harder, right?
Like, I mean, I understand that, hey, let's just get to it. We want to get to it. I mean, understand kind of the mindset of...
Mm-hmm. Porter family's not had a good season.
No, it's not been. And that,
with the whole females thing and then his brother.
That is like the smallest, most minute thing, that is a tiny little blip on the Porter family radar.
Mama Porter really wants this regular season to be over. This has not gone well for the her baby boys.
No, it is not. But I agree with Jokic, though. I mean, and just also, what are you going to do? You're going to cheer for one or the other?
Yeah, like, I mean,
we want the Lakers again. We want them.
Like, who cares?
I think that's, yeah, it's like, go chill out, relax. Michael Malone said, just go home.
Yeah.
Be with your families. Just chill out for a couple of days.
I love the not even not so humble brag. Like, I got a pool, brother. I'm going to go hang out in my pool.
Will he let Peyton Watson? Like, Peyton Watson gets to sit with his feet in the pool in the commercial.
Yeah.
Jokic is under the little cabana thing. So, mm-hmm. I wonder if he'll say, you can come over to my house, but now this time you can't be in the pool because I'm going to be in the pool.
Right.
Who knows?
You can't be in the pool, but if you want to grab that little net thing, that'd be great.
All right, so here's a little Post Malone from yesterday. Coach Michael Malone on a strong post All-Star game stretch.
I think, obviously, not being satisfied with last year, you know, tying a franchise record. You know, it's unfortunate that we didn't break the record when we had a chance to, but you know, to tie the franchise record for wins in a season is outstanding, and especially on the heels of winning a championship. And, you know, that's been the mantra all year long, is not being satisfied, staying hungry, and pushing yourself individually and collectively to be the best team that we can be. And to go, I think, 21-6 out of the All-Star break is just an incredible response from our team. So very proud of our group. You know, glad the 82-game regular season is over, and now we turn the page and get ready for the postseason. And I think all of our guys are really excited about that.
All right, there's Michael Malone. So this is how it looks for the play-in round. You got Lakers at the Pelicans tomorrow. Warriors and Kings. Golden State plays at Sacramento. How weird is it that LeBron and Steph are in play-in games?
It's a little strange.
A little strange that they're not in the playoffs. They're in play-in games.
They're technically not playoff teams yet. That's the weird part.
Two of the greatest players the last 20 years, 25 years, in play-in games. And then in the Eastern Conference, you got the 76ers hosting Miami. Would have thought the Sixers would be a play-in team with all the hype.
In Miami?
Embiid. Yeah.
They were in the finals last year.
Yeah. Once again, Embiid, one of the best players in the league, of course, has been out for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
The Heat, as you mentioned, the runner-up to the Nuggets last year. And then you got, that's Wednesday night, and then Hawks-Bulls coming up on Wednesday as well.
That one's on brand.
Yeah, that's...
Those are two teams are in the play-in.
Even the Kings are a little bit of a surprise considering the season they had last year.
Yeah, a little bit of a surprise that they're the nine.
Yeah, but the Warriors, that's a surprise. Pelicans, that's not a surprise. But the Lakers, the Heat and Sixers, to me are two. It's like, really? Those are play-in teams?
How saucy would Friday be if the Lakers lose and the Warriors win? Lakers, Warriors for the spot into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like the 2016 finals all over again. That way, Skip Bayless and whoever the hell is on his show with him could debate the block again. 8 years later. They spent a significant time last week talking about that 2016 block and about how LeBron didn't really do anything. It was all Kyrie, even though LeBron was the guy that went coast to coast and blocked the chase down block. But it was Kyrie's closeout defense that or something Skip was saying.
Skip's an idiot.
Yeah, he is.
Just an absolute
idiot.
Shows
you how relevant that show is.
Why are you debating something that happened back in 2016? Who cares now?
Because it's another way to say LeBron stinks.
Again, don't have to like him. Don't have to think LeBron James one of the greatest players of all time. But you also can't say he's so overrated and he sucks. He's won titles. The all-time scoring leader. At some point, you have to give, whether you like him or not, you have to give him his just due.
You can not like him. You can disagree that, you know, he's on the Mount Rushmore, if you want to say that.
You can take the Mantooth, Burgundy, damn it, Ron Burgundy, I don't like you, but I respect you.
Right. You have to acknowledge that he's better than you give him credit for.
Absolutely. So then there's the Avalanche.
Oh. All right, it's time for Around the NFL.
Got beat by Winnipeg 7-0 on Saturday. Then they play back-to-back. Then they go to Vegas, where they had a 3-goal lead until they didn't have a 3-goal lead.
I didn't get a chance to watch Saturday. I was out doing other stuff for other stations. Did they just send the guys to Vegas? Like, were those actual Avs players playing against the Jets?
I do not know.
Dang, what a want to drop in front of your home crowd there next to last home game. Oof.
Yeah.
Jeepers creepers.
Yeah, not a great way to...
Like, there's 29 out there skating, I'm sure, but was that really Nathan McKinnon?
I'm just looking to see here.
Is that the ghost of Adam Deadmarsh, who's still alive?
Yeah, McKinnon was on the ice. Hmm. Had 4 shots on goal.
Couldn't figure out a way to get one of them to go in?
Makar got 2 shots on goal.
Feel bad for my nephew. First Avs game.
And, oh, no.
They made a sign. The whole thing, first of all, they confiscated the sign, I think. It couldn't let him bring it in because it was too big. And then they go out and lose 7-0. Mm-hmm.
Well, Sunday looked like, hey, they're going to shake that stink off, going to wash it off, going to go into Vegas, beat the defending champions, and they lose in overtime 4-3.
Man.
I think Georgie had 17 saves in the game. He got goals from Ross Colton, Cale Makar, Mikko Rantanen. And I watched part of that. I was watching Masters. I was kind of flipping around a little bit, watching a lot of different things. But they took, to me, penalties. Josh, Manson took 3 penalties in the second half, 2 in the third. And the Vegas Golden Knights were able to take both those power plays and score goals during that stretch.
Having a power play in overtime is just a killer.
Yeah, William Karlsson had 2 goals in the game. Barbashev, that was a sweet wraparound goal by Ivan Barbashev. Mm-hmm. So now the Avalanche are in a position where they're hoping to hold on to second place. But it's looking more and more likely they're going to be at Winnipeg to start the postseason. Connor McGay's favorite town.
Oh, yeah. Loves Winnipeg. Loves the peg. And they are about 94% odds, according to the playoffstatus.com, that they're going to be the 3 seed out of the Central.
Highly unlikely.
They need a disaster on Winnipeg's part to get Game 7 at Ball Arena.
All right, here's Jared Bednar after the loss.
Penalties, so indifferent. I think we stopped pushing a little bit to continue to try to create offense. Played with a really nice conscience on the defensive side of things, but you get in a game when a team makes a push, you got to continue to push back. It's kind of like what the message was on the bench. While still being smart and deliberate with the puck and taking care of the puck, which we did, we didn't push back hard enough. But at the end of the day, can't take dumb penalties in a tight game. You just can't. And, you know, that's the difference in the hockey game for me.
Now, if they could have played more like TU, might be a different outcome. Dustin with a text. What a game the Pioneers goalie had. Made some pretty insane plays. Some great stops.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous, that guy. Absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, in a good way.
The one save in particular, when they were up 2-0, and it looks like Boston College is going to get on the scoreboard, going to get back into it, but Matt Davis robs, I forgot who it was for Boston College, but just, I mean, he stopped 68 of 69 shots in the Frozen Four.
He allowed 3 goals in the playoffs, period.
Period. That's it.
Georgie allowed more than that in like 90 seconds on Saturday. It felt like.
All right. Coming up, we'll go around the NFL. Who do we have on the team line?
It's our buddy Paul talking some abs.
All right. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Really lousy.
It's tax day. Are your taxes done, Paul?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
good. That's easy to do.
Oh, good. Well,
watching that stinker of a hockey team of ours for the last week has been awful. I've been an Avs fan since they showed up at McNichols Arena as the Nordiques. And watching the last couple games, you're like, what is going on with this team? Do you guys know that this is almost the exact team? It's almost the exact defensive blue line, the defensive line, as they had 2 years ago when they won the Cup. The only difference is they've added Wagner. The rest of the line is exactly the same. So where's the problem? Is it Georgie? Something's really wrong. If they don't flip the switch, they are going to be one and done.
Yeah, I think there was the feeling that the Georgie played well enough and that they liked what they've seen from Eustace Annan, so they didn't need to go out and get a veteran backup goaltender at the trade deadline. They made the moves for Mittelstadt, Trennan, Walker, and those have been great moves for the Avalanche. No doubt those are areas of need. But I'm hoping the situation, Georgie's part of the problem, but also they haven't played at times very well in front of him. And you're right. I mean, it's what's the difference? This is the, you know, with Manson, Taves, I mean, obviously McCarr, and then they add a Walker. I mean, this is pretty much the same defensive core that was so good when they won the Cup. I'm a little, Paul, I'm with you. I'm a little baffled on that because that is part of the problem. It's not all Georgie. It is how they played in front of him at times. And to go out and get beat 7-0 on Saturday this late in the season and then go to Vegas and cough up a 3-goal lead. Well, I don't know. Not playing their best hockey when they need to be playing their best hockey, that's for sure.
Well, I'll tell you what else is, it's a killer when you go lose in overtime. It is a deflating situation when you lose in overtime. Hockey teams, the game of hockey, more than any of our other major sports, I think, works on chemistry. These guys, if they're really clicking, they know where the next guy is going to be before the guy gets there. That's what Gretzky said years ago. I just know where people are going to be before they get there. And the Avs had that for the last couple years, and they've put a lot of money into this team. I'll tell you what, if they get bounced with the greatest player on the planet playing for them, and they get bounced in the first round, I'm worried for what the next 1, 2, 3, 4 years looks like for them. It's just, there's a chemistry that has to happen, and it doesn't seem to be happening.
And the case of McKinnon, too, your reference, I'm probably having his best individual season period of his career.
By far.
Yeah, and if you waste that, you know, I remember his famous comment, you know, I've been here over many years, and we haven't won bleep until they finally did, and I'm hoping that he doesn't start to feel that way again. That this is a team that should win another cup. They have the talent to do that. They've demonstrated that. Let us hope that this is not another wasted season for the Avalanche, and they can hopefully get things going once the playoffs roll around. Hey, Paul, appreciate it, man.
Can you imagine what Sakic and Bednar are talking about this morning? Can you imagine what's going on in that coaching room?
Oh, I'm sure there's some very intense conversations, I'm sure, going on.
A buffet at the Bellagio is killer. That's what they're talking
exactly
about.
Hey, Paul, good.
Oh,
on.
My goodness.
Thank you for calling in, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Take care. All right, there's Paul today. All right, we need to get to around the NFL this morning.
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, of course, the draft is coming up on the 25th, and the speculation continues about what Denver will do with the 12th pick. Will they try to trade up to get a quarterback? What will happen? Will they wait and see who falls to them at 12? Dave Logan, 850 KOA, of course, calls Broncos games. We've had Dave on before. He said that, knowing Peyton a little bit, I think if that quarterback is there and they think they can move up, I think they'll do that. I don't think Peyton would hesitate to trade next year's first rounder in the 26th, and 26 is number one. I just don't think he'd care because he wants to get his guy at quarterback. I can see him doing that. But is that guy J.J. McCarthy? He might feel that way. I'm just not sold on J.J. McCarthy. I'm just not.
I'm not either.
I know, and I'm not looking. I like Bo Nix, but I'm not in love with Bo Nix. It's not like I think Bo Nix is the slam dunk. Yep, that's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's the guy.
I don't think so either. And
like I said, I like him better than you do and Cake do.
Bo Nix.
Bo Nix.
Yeah.
But I once again, I'm not feeling like, boy, Bo Nix is going to solve all the problems. He is the answer here.
I like Bo Nix better than J.J. McCarthy. I feel like at least Bo Nix was asked to do a little more. You know, when, yeah, Bo Nix, air yards traveled down the field is like less than 7 per attempt. And it's one of the worst numbers in FBS. I feel, even though J.J. McCarthy is higher than him, I feel that Bo Nix was entrusted to do more with that offense than J.J. McCarthy was.
No, I think that's fair.
It strikes me as a massive red flag that you didn't even, like, you weren't even an option in the second half against Penn State. Your team was so good, you really didn't even have to play.
Just don't
turn
it over.
They direct snapped to the running back the entire half. Like, you didn't even attempt a pass, let alone complete one, where Bo Nix was asked to do stuff at Oregon. And not the, hey, just don't screw it up, kid. That, to me, that doesn't warrant a first-round pick if I'm J.J. McCarthy. That barely warrants a first-round pick for Bo Nix, but I like him better than, as we call him, Jar Jar McCarthy.
Here's the problem for Denver, though. Regardless who they take, the lack of success for Broncos' first-round draft picks is pretty obvious. Patrick Surtain II is an outlier there.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Von Miller was an outlier, taken number 2 overall in 2011.
How far apart were those?
Yeah. But you look at it, it's the Broncos' 9 first-round picks since 2012 have made a combined 4 Pro Bowls while either playing for Denver or, in the case of Bradley Chubb, while playing for the Dolphins. Chiefs have had 19 such appearances during that same span. The Chargers, 15. The Raiders, 13. So what does that tell you? Who Denver drafts in the first round doesn't typically produce a whole lot.
No, they haven't even had one since 21.
They've been bad picks. Outside of Patrick Surtain II, mm-hmm. He's been an outlier for them in recent years. But I mean, the three before PS2, Bradley Chubb, who's now no longer there, Noah Fant, Jerry Jeudy, all three traded before their rookie contracts expired. And of that three, Chubb was the only guy that really produced of that group to live up to being a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, the last 10 first-round picks for the Broncos, Von Miller, pretty good.
Future Hall of Famer, Super Bowl MVP.
Mm-hmm. Just, you know, stay out of the hoo-scow for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
Sylvester Williams.
Good little player, but yeah. Contributor.
Exactly. Good little player. Bradley Roby, Shane Ray, Paxton Lynch, and then the 5 that you just mentioned.
And Roby was okay, but it wasn't like Bradley Roby was, they drafted PS2.
Mm-hmm. Like, Roby was all right for what they asked him to do because that was a stellar defense and he didn't have to do a lot. He's been better in Houston or wherever he's at now, but he was better in Houston. But I think the pressure was off of him a little bit. He wasn't great with the Broncos. Shane Ray was a nothing burger. Paxton Lynch is just laughable.
Just they traded up to get him. Ugh.
You know, that was the same year as LeBron's block and Skip Bayless isn't breaking down that draft pick.
Exactly. So whatever they do, they've got to hit on something here. Whether it's a quarterback, whether it's Brock Bowers, whether it's one of the offensive tackles. Because you now have a situation.
Alabama kid from the corner.
Yeah. Name escapes me right now.
I don't remember his name. Don't take the Mitchell kid from Toledo. I'm not sold on him being a top 15 pick. Like, if you trade up, you got to nail it. And I don't know if you're trading up, it's for a quarterback and you can't get to the quarterbacks that are nailing it, right? You just can't. Yeah. Chicago, Washington aren't moving because you don't have the capital to get there.
No, you don't have enough to. And those are two teams that want quarterbacks, need quarterbacks,
yeah.
And they're going to take the top two guys.
Mm-hmm. So you're getting to three, and at that point, there's no one left that I'm like, that's worth it.
Not even Michael Penix Jr. probably.
No.
All guys that are, they're okay. They're mm-hmm. good quarter. They have the potentially really to be good quarterbacks, not yep. great quarterbacks.
Not trading up to nine spots in the first round from 12.
Yeah. I mean, since 2012, Denver's only signed one of its first round picks to a second contract. You know who that is?
Garrett Bowles.
Garrett Bowles would be the only guy.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of chatter on the interwebs about maybe Denver's going to trade PS2 to get additional draft capital. I don't know about that.
Then at Wrigley, when they do the standings of all the teams in the divisions, I know that's baseball, but if they were to do it for football, they would put up a white flag in the area of the Broncos if they trade PS2.
Denver might have the worst roster of anybody in the AFC West. At the moment,
I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, I think they probably are.
The competition, quote unquote, is Vegas, and they have a guy that you can entrust the franchise to at quarterback, even if it's yes, it is Gardner Minshew II. He's still been entrusted to start for a full season somewhere. Two somewheres, I think, Jacksonville right. and Indianapolis. So that alone puts them ahead of the Broncos when it comes to talent. Because really, you're really okay if you have to giving Jared Stidham the start for 17 games. Pass. Like, can you play in the early window all year so I can watch yeah. Red Zone? Like, that's not going to be a lot of fun. Then bring in Ben DiNucci off the bench. No thanks.
You just
what in the yeah, Derek yeah, Anderson is yeah, going on
because,
here?
Because everybody that was a free agent that might have been helpful, like a Gardner Minshew, mm-hmm. They were gone. Right out of the gate. They're gone. And Denver supposedly didn't even show any interest.
No, because they were chasing after, you know, third safeties or whatever.
Also, from around the NFL this morning, Jim and the Buckeye Boy on the Team Sports Network. That Joe Burrow was on the New Heights podcast with Jason and Travis Kelce.
Live edition at yeah. UC.
Yeah. And Joe Burrow thinks that taunting should not be a penalty.
That's how he wants to do it more.
It's like we're grown men. Come on. Okay. I don't really care.
That one, I agree with him on that. It's like, you are grown-ups. Like, who cares?
High school level, not cool.
Right.
College, yeah.
That's a touchy slope.
But then you also get into the definition of what is there a point where it's too much, too far?
Yeah.
How do you?
There's got to be some guardrails.
Exactly.
There.
Because you're going to run over and get right. the guy's face and you know, scream in his face. And
but if I break up a pass or if I'm a safety and I level you, and like I look down and you're okay. And I give you a little flex.
Yeah.
I don't need a flag for that.
Yeah. If he's hurt, not cool, not yeah. acceptable.
You're a jerk.
But if you just got knocked on your butt
right.
and you're kind of embarrassed, I have no problem with that.
I'm fine with a corner. Woo! You know, a little flex.
Yeah.
Well, I don't need a flag for that. You know?
Also, Burrow said that, which is interesting because he's on the podcast with Travis Kelce,
mm-hmm.
that the Bengals are being constructed with the task of beating the Chiefs as their number one objective.
Yeah.
He said, I think we match up pretty well with them. I think we're built to beat them. I always appreciate the legendary battles we have. Guys are out there always making plays. Patrick is always out there making plays. Both teams have big time defensive lines. It's a great matchup. Because he's not saying anything. What's he supposed to say? No, I bow down to you and you guys are the Super Bowl champions and we're not trying to beat you. And he says it with confidence, but also with respect because he knows the Chiefs are right. really good.
The two quarterbacks to beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, Tom Brady, Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, yeah, of course they're set. They've made it to 4 Super Bowls in 5 years. If you're not trying to beat the Chiefs, then what are you doing?
Then, yeah, what is your end game here?
Mm-hmm.
The goal should be you got to beat the best team in your conference.
And like Buffalo, if you can't beat them, you got to outscore them. So trade one of your wide receivers to Houston. That's a different situation. But still, it's like if you're not going to be able to stop them, you have to outscore them. And Cincinnati is the one team that at 100% or as close as you can get in January can do that. I don't know if there's any other team in the AFC constructed to do both. Play them well defensively and hang with them offensively. I don't know. I don't know if there's anybody else in the AFC that can do that. There's not really anybody in the East because Buffalo is shown every time. Cincinnati, when healthy, they can go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs
because they've done it. Because they've beat them. They've done it.
And the South? No.
No.
Texans can go offensively, but I don't think they can defensively.
But they're getting closer. They've closed the gap a lot.
You know, and so.
Also, we've got to wrap it up here because we got other things we got to get to. The Jets have unveiled their uniforms today, about an hour ago.
Didn't they just change?
Jets unveil new Legacy Collection. So it'll have 3 uniform versions, Legacy Green, Legacy White, and Legacy Black. And
it's
the logo
have black alternate.
The logo has been changed slightly, looks like. It's Jets on the side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not the Namath era
not
Jet.
The football not that the they football. Changed from to the.
But it looks like maybe they've tweaked it a little bit.
Why?
I don't know. Broncos uniform unveil is the 22nd, by the way.
It's next Monday, right?
It's next Monday. Lots to talk about next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Also, getting away from the NFL, the United Football League, ones of twos, taking in the action this weekend.
Yeah.
They're going to think, why don't we just play every game in St. Louis? Because that's the only place where they get decent attendance.
There are plenty of good seats available in Arlington, I saw.
Yeah. So your Saturday games, you had the D.C. Defenders, and they've had actually decent attendance at Audi Stadium in D.C., but they're playing at the Arlington Renegades. D.C. wins 29-28. D.C.'s 2-1. Renegades are 0-3. You're defending XFL champions.
Oh, naturally. How could I forget that?
How could you? And then your USFL champions, the Birmingham Stallions, they're 3-0. And they beat Memphis 33-14. Sunday, the Michigan Panthers are 2-1. They beat the Houston Roughnecks 34-20. Roughnecks are 0-3. The St. Louis Battlehawks, they beat San Antonio 31-24. Both those teams are 2-1 for those that really, truly care. All, maybe one of you out there listening this morning.
There's somebody out there that does.
Somebody out there gives a crap.
Way more than I do.
All right, 8:33, and it's time to play the number game this morning.
Let's play the number game on the Jim Davis Show.
Yes, up for grabs today is a delicious case of Coors, the banquet, courtesy of our friends at High Country Beverage. A couple things to keep in mind. If you've won any time in the last 2 weeks, including the Monday 2 weeks ago, sit it out. You're still within your 2 week moratorium. If you're under the age of 21, sit it out because it is beer. If you don't want the prize, don't play. Just, it's that simple. Hey, I know the right answer. I don't want the prize. Well, then,
just don't play.
Keep it to yourself. Text your kids or whatever.
Text your buddy.
Yeah.
And have him win.
Text
maybe he wants a prize.
Text somebody that doesn't listen to the show. Confuses the crap out of them. It's great. We all know. And the first correct answer on the text line, by the way, text only 970-242-1340. And it's always a number. That's why it's called a number game. So don't text me like Larry Walker because you'll be wrong. We all know Todd Helton holds the Rockies games played record with 2,247. How many total players have played over 1,000 games in the purple pinstripes? First correct answer on the text line, 970-242-1340, gets a delicious case of Coors, the bank of beer, courtesy of our friends at High Country Beverage.
All right, so send your answer in now to get that case of Coors Original, 970-242-1340. Text only, please. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
I'm a big sports addict.
I like sports.
Sports.
This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team. 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction. 102.1 FM, Delta Montrose.
Welcome back, 838. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. It is tax day today. Do you know when they created a national income tax? When it all, the reason why it came about?
July 4, 1776. Is that?
No, it was actually Civil War. It was to pay for the battle
for
between
that war, baby.
Battle between the states. Yeah, so that was when, at one point, it was supposed to expire, but then Congress renewed it, and so
here we are
paying our fair share. I'd like, sometimes feels like more than what should be our fair share. But anyway,
we do get stuff out of it.
We do. We do get some money
like
back.
Like schools and roads and
a
stuff.
A lot of good things that come from it.
Police officers go do their job because they still get paid for it.
Very true.
Sort of thing.
Firefighters.
Yeah, firefighters.
Somebody comes and picks up your trash. Yeah. Maybe it's through the city. Not necessarily trash services are privately owned, but some are through the city. If you live in the city limits and you opt to go that route.
Yeah. All right, we don't have the worst roads. I know people think so, but we don't have terrible, awful roads. We got some bad ones.
Go to Iowa. Ooh.
Yeah, no kidding.
Some bad roads out there, man. Bad roads. All right, 8:39, and it's time for Browns Cremation and Funeral Service. Good call, bad call.
Was that a good call, or did they totally blow it? It's good call or bad call.
Brought to you by Browns Cremation and Funeral Service in Grand Junction, 904 North 7th Street. You can call them at 970-255-8888. Always a good call to get things prearranged, a bad call, leaving it up to somebody else to do it, or for your loved ones to leave it up to you later. Give them a call today. Make your arrangements now. Browns Cremation and Funeral Service, 970-255-8888. All right, as much as we've talked about, it's tax day, it's Jackie Robinson Day. You know what else is today? The WNBA draft is tonight.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Caitlin Clark.
I wonder who's going to be the number one overall pick.
I think it's pretty much slam dunk that Caitlin Clark, or a three from the logo, probably is more accurate for Caitlin Clark.
That's true, yeah.
The Caitlin Clark will be the number one pick of the Indiana Fever. And there's been an estimated that 26,000 additional fans will attend Fever games this year. That's why Las Vegas Aces, they've moved, they'll play at a different arena for Fever games to accommodate the additional 8,000 fans. 36 of the 40 Indiana Fever games are going to be televised nationally. So, good call, bad call about Caitlin Clark. For you, Buckeye Boy, will she prompt you to watch at least part of one WNBA Indiana Fever game this season? Is that a good call or a bad call? I'm not talking about a quarter. Just tune in, watch her for 3 or 4 minutes. Say, okay, there's Caitlin Clark.
That's probably good call adjacent-ish. Yeah, I will probably end up accidentally watching some Indiana Fever this year.
Have you watched WNBA, period? Any of it?
Here and there.
Here and there?
Usually if it's on a channel I was last on, and I don't change it immediately, usually it's one of those. Or it's like Sabrina Ionescu or Sue Bird or something.
Right.
Then I'll watch, like, oh, okay. You know, but not religiously, no.
I think it's a good call for both of us.
Yeah,
I'll
you'll probably watch more than I will.
I'll definitely watch. You bet. And
now, in case Sheldon gets into the league from Ohio State, I'm locked in. Or Cody McMahon.
But let's be honest about this. There's not going to be 19 million viewers
now
to watch an Indiana Fever game. Will there be an uptick in, I think, interest TV wise?
Initially,
I think so. Is it sustainable? I don't know if it's sustainable. She's going to raise the bar a little bit. She's going to make the WNBA a little more interesting to people, at least for a while. And I'm hoping it works out. I hope that the Caitlin Clark effect does elevate the entire league.
I just worry about...
You got to pump the brakes on. It's going to be like the Final Four. Mm-hmm. No, it's not going to be like the Final Four.
The thing I worry about is the bandwagon nature of fans.
Yep.
Because once she goes against professionals, I'm not saying that, she's going to be average. But, their season is upcoming. And she's going to hit a wall because she just played a whole season.
Exactly.
And when the professional nature of the league... plus the wall, all of that coming. Caitlin
Clark. The pressure that's going to be, which she's already had a ton of pressure on her, but now.
If she's like 7 of 24 with, 19 points for 4 or 5 games, people are going to be like, it was all just a fad. And then they're going away.
Those are good numbers. Those are numbers like you should be. That's really good. That's a good start to a career. But
she set the bar to a point to where it's going to be almost impossible to attain for some of the bandwagon.
It's going
to
be a good call. There will be a lot of unrealistic expectations for her. And people will crack on her if she doesn't go out and hit 10 threes and score 40 points a game.
Yep.
They're going to say, what a disappointment. What a failure. Which is unfair to her.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be unfair, and it's going to be... continuously unfair. It's just not going to be.
I kind of feel like she's in a no-win situation here.
100%.
Yeah.
Good call, bad calls. I got to restart the music here. Good call, bad call. Boban Marjanovic. He purposely missed a free throw at the Clippers to at the Clippers. Sorry. The way they worded this headline is terrible. Because the missed free throw kept the score underneath the line for Clippers fans to get free Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
So good call, bad call on that one. Because if I remember correctly, the Rockets had no shot of losing that game. They were up like 10, 11 points. Good call, bad call on Boban. Helping out the home fans, his road fans, the opposing fans, get some Chick-fil-A.
That's a bad call. You do that for the opposing fans? Mm-hmm. No, that's a bad
Clippers
call.
Clippers fans win free Chick-fil-A if an opposing player misses two consecutive free throws in the fourth quarter.
Maybe he wants to get traded there. I don't know. Go there as a free agent. I'm not sure.
He asked, Boban did, you want chicken, and then bricked the second free throw.
The only problem with that, that's kind of funny that he did that, is now that we're so concerned about spreads, player parlays, those kind of things, that's where this is a problem.
That's otherwise, only it's where I get a bad call.
Otherwise, it's cute and kind of funny. Mm-hmm. To me, it's like, you're doing this for the opposing fans. I don't know about that, but... It doesn't really stick in my craw.
That's the only place I call it a bet.
Because I'm betting on this, and because you did that, you didn't hit the over or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. You did that so those people get free Chick-fil-A?
If you're betting Rockets Clippers, though, you probably have bigger issues. Yeah.
You're a gigantic degenerate
gambler. I'm trying to find the number for... right, to see if that had anything, because I think the Rockets were obviously road dogs at the Clippers. So I'm just, here we go. The line was Houston -4.5, so they were road favorites, apparently. They covered. That was good. The over-under, 22.5. The final number, 222.5. Final number? 221. So the second one he missed on purpose. The first one he missed because he's not a great foul shooter.
Right.
So they still would have hit on the under, but if he makes them both.
Yeah.
221. That's, how do they do that? That's all we... 222.5. Rockets Clippers, 221. It hit the under by 1.5. But I'm with you. Gambling is the only place that makes me go, that's a bad call.
That's probably a bad call.
Otherwise, it's amusing.
All right, 8:47. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Prep Stars and Mighty Mavs. That's on the way on the Team Sports Network.
It's your morning sports and more. It's the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Welcome back, 8:51. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. No stress name in automobiles. All right, do we have a winner for the number game today?
We do.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
He's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Mark, first in the door with the correct numerical answer of 8.
Good job.
Helton Blackman, Cargo, Walker, Castilla, Arenado, Tulo, Bichette. The 8 Rockies to play over 1,000 games in the Purple Pinstripes.
And we'll also have a chance for you to play Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia. That'll be a Rockies question today as well. So I'll have that coming up next hour. All right, 8:51, and it's time for Prep Stars.
It's time to let the stars shine. It's Prep Stars on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, our best of the weekend. Start things out with Grand Junction track and field standout Italia Miles. She won the 100 or 200 hurdles, and she tied for first in a long jump at the Phil Wertmann Invitational. So congratulations to her. My male prep star, also from the Phil Wertmann Invitational.
Yeah.
Good morning to Uncle Phil, by the way. He's listening this morning. DeBeck Scotty Vines sets the state high jump record, a record that has been unbroken since 1991. And Scotty Vines, what an incredible performance. Did it Friday at the Phil Wertmann Invitational. Sets the state high jump record, 7 feet, 4 1/4 inches. Previous record set back in 1991 by Buena Vista's Matt Hemingway. All Matt Hemingway would do is go on to become an Olympic silver medalist.
Oh, hey, that's not bad.
And then Scotty Vines actually cleared this mark before at a meet in Texas, but because it was in Texas and not in Colorado, did not count as a state record when he did it there, but he did it here this last Friday. Congratulations to him.
Absolutely. My female prep star, the pair of Kira Dunn and Lily Belknap, the Fruita Monument number 3 doubles team, took a 3-set win, helped the Wildcats win a tournament in Pueblo. On the boys' side, North Fork Baseball's Lane Allen, 3-for-3, 5 RBI, and an 18-2 win over Moffitt County over the weekend.
Lane Allen, pretty good football player for the minors as well.
Pretty good. That whole baseball team, I'm like, I know that name and that name and that,
name. Yeah. All right, so we have Mighty Mavs.
The best of CMU sports. It's Mighty Mavs on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, CMU lacrosse player Justine Anderson, she scored 4 goals in the Mavericks' win over CSU Pueblo. They scored 14 unanswered goals to get the win in that game. So Justine Anderson's my female Mighty Mav, my male Mighty Mav. Got to go to the diamond. Rob Sherrar, 2 home runs on Friday night against Chico State. He hit the walk-off 3-run home run, and he also drove in 3 on Saturday as well. So Rob Sherrar is my male Mighty Mav.
My female Mighty Mav, Hannah Sattler, on the diamond for the softball team. 2 starts First Metro this weekend, 14 innings pitched, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 13 Ks. That's not bad as the Mavericks sweep. On the men's side, the 4x100 relay team, Elijah Williams, Jeremiah Reed, Mateo Casados, Marie Cummings. They won the Maverick invite team relay at 47 seconds. That's fast.
All right. So that's Prep Stars and Mighty Mavs today. We'll go to the text line. Paul, who called earlier, the text. I think the WNBA is overcooking their grits, putting everything on one player coming into the league.
Yeah, because if she is average at any point, there's going to be a lot of the "I told you so" argument.
Because there's no way she's going to go out and score 40 points a game and hit 10 threes a game. No. And she's not going to do that.
Because if she does, you know what happens? There are going to be people out there who be like, gosh, this girl was in college 3 months ago. How good are the rest of these?
Exactly.
This must suck.
They're supposed to, women's professional basketball.
Yep.
Well, league must not be that good. Let's see. From Bronco Sergeant, I hear you mention a bandwagon. Where do I get on? Signed, Chiefs fans in Grand Junction. Very true, Bronco Sergeant. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back with hour 3.